You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Consumers Guarantees Right to Repair Amendment Bill passed its first reading in Parliament yesterday. The bill would require manufacturers to make repair parts and information available to consumers to extend the lifetime of their products. Green Party co-leader Marama Davidson has sponsored the bill, which she says combines climate action with cost of living relief. However, the bill has some limitations, such as that the Commerce Commission would not have the power to compel manufacturers to comply. I spoke to University of Auckland professor and Right to Repair Coalition Aotearoa member Alex Sims about the bill and its limitations. Can you explain the situation that the Right of Repair Bill aims to improve?
Okay, so at the moment, under the Consumer Guarantees Act, there's a big loophole because if a retailer tells you that there are no repair facilities or spare parts available, then you don't have to be, doesn't have to be any. And so that will close that loophole. But also, and since the Consumer Guarantees Act was passed, you know, back in the 90s, you know, products have changed. And now often just to fix something, even an experienced repairer will need, you know, manuals and a whole lot of information and maybe software diagnostic tools and things like that. And what this bill would will do if it comes into effect will require the manufacturer to supply, you know, all that information, diagnostic tools and software, etc., upon request of the consumer. So that will help goods get repaired.
What is the economic impact of Right to Repair, both for individuals and on a larger scale?
Well, economically, the people will be able to, you know, keep goods in circulation a lot longer and use them. So that will ultimately save them money. But also, as another sort of part of it, is that by keeping, you know, using something for longer, you're actually saving, you know, a lot of the earth's resources because you're not having, you know, to dig things up and all that type of stuff. And so that's also very beneficial. There is some, you know, manufacturers and things say, well, this will increase prices because they'll have to, you know, have spare parts on hand and things like that. But, you know, there may be some cost, but then other research has shown that it doesn't actually cost more. And in fact, some businesses are making money by supplying spare parts, their own spare parts, and they've actually seen that it's profitable for them.
Could this bill then create jobs?
Yes, definitely, with repair. So when they've done things like in Austria and Vienna, they've been able to employ people, plus train people as well. So it's a really good source of jobs.
On this note, will this bill align us with international standards?
Not really. It's a good first step. It's necessary. But it doesn't do things like require a redesign of products. For example, in the UK, certain products that are sold there have to be, you know, able to be repaired using commonly available tools, because I don't know, some people may be aware that when they've gone to take something apart, it needs a special type of screwdriver which you just don't have and cannot get hold of. So that's one thing. There's lots and lots of overseas legislation, and some of them you go a lot further. But what's sort of unique about New Zealand, the bill, is that it would cover all goods that are commonly acquired by consumers, you know, for household and domestic use. Sorry, not necessarily by consumers, any good that's commonly acquired for personal domestic use. So that's actually one of the sticking points of the bill, because it might be that it's better to focus on just some, for example, big things like fridges and other things, which is what the UK does. And even in Australia, Australia's got a right to repair law, but it's incredibly narrow and it's just on motor vehicles. So that's something that's got to be looked at the state committee stage.
Could other countries having stronger or different legislation on right to repair have ramifications here or vice versa?
Well, yes, it could, because, for example, if you want, especially, say, in France and England, the UK, products need to be made to a certain specification. And if those products are then sold in New Zealand, then we get the benefit of that. But on the other hand, we could also see that manufacturers start selling, they've got excess stock, and they start selling the stock they cannot sell overseas in New Zealand. So it could work either way for us.
You've described this bill as a first step, and you've alluded to this a little bit already, but what are the limitations of this bill and what more needs to be done?
Well, one of the limitations is that because it's under the Consumer Guarantees Act, it only applies, as I said before, to goods that are ordinarily acquired for personal and domestic use. So last night in the debate on the bill, a few of the politicians said, oh, this will help farmers with their tractors and things. And unfortunately, it won't help farmers because a tractor is something that most people do not ordinarily acquire for their domestic use. And so I think farmers definitely should be covered. So that would require a change to the Act. And it may be that, the bill, it may have to be under, say, the Fair Trading Act to allow for that. And in fact, the right to repair movement really kicked off overseas to do with tractors. Another sort of limitation is, because under the Consumer Guarantees Act, it's pretty much self-enforcing in that you as a consumer need to do something. And it's not like if it was under the Fair Trading Act, then the Commerce Commission could step in and start to do things. So I think there's that. I personally and other people would also like to see what they've got in France, and that's like a repairability label that goes on certain products. So before you buy something, you can see, oh yes, this is easier to repair than this other one, there's spare parts available, and it's more durable than this other one. And that would require a big sort of change to it. And maybe that could be done later on. So what I'm trying to say is, yes, it's a good, there are problems with the bill. It doesn't sort of go far enough, but it's better having that bill than not another, than waiting for years for something more comprehensive. Another quick thing that the bill does do is that when you buy something, the terms and conditions might say, if you take this product to an unauthorised repairer, your warranty is void. That will, make those clauses have no effect. So that's a good step as well. But one thing I'm slightly worried about is that most manufacturers have been required already to supply spare parts to have them available, and they haven't been doing that. So I'm sort of a bit worried that, we changed the law and say that now everyone has to do it and it can't be a loophole. But the law wasn't really working all that well beforehand. So there's nothing really in it to tell me that it's really going to have a massive effect.
And I'm just wondering, to what extent will this bill help with planned obsolescence or manufacturers making things that are not meant to last?
Well, as I said, there's nothing directly in the bill. But if, they're having to supply spare parts, then it and all repair information, then it might sort of lead them to do redesigns to make them last longer. But I think it's more likely that, as I said before, with other countries effectively requiring a redesign of their products, that we will get the benefit of those products being sold in New Zealand, because it's not really worth it to have completely different products for different countries.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know about the Right to Repair Bill?
Okay, well, first of all, as I said, is that it's better than nothing. Okay, so it's much better to get this. Two more things. Another one is that if it hopefully does become law, then people just can't put their feet up and say, oh, we've got a right to repair legislation. There's a lot more that can be done. And in fact, overseas, what has happened is that they'll have something for something very narrow. So, for example, Colorado will start it off with electric wheelchairs, and then it expanded outwards to other things. And the third thing is that this is now, thankfully, going to the Select Committee. And so I encourage people, if they're interested in this, to write to the to the Select Committee and just say you're in favour of it, because the more people that say that, the more likely it'll be to be passed. I'm a member of the Right to Repair Aotearoa Coalition, and we've done a whole lot of work on this, and we'll be doing more. So, you know, if people want to Google that or something, and we'll be providing ourselves and through other people some sort of helpful guides for people how to make a submission if they want to.
That was University of Auckland Professor and Right to Repair Coalition Aotearoa member Alex Sims about the Right to Repair Bill, including its limitations.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.